John chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. So we are now at the third Passover. Or is it the second? It might be the second Passover. Yes, second Passover. We're at the second Passover in the ministry of Jesus. Because remember, he did his mission for 3.5 years. And in John, it's kind of easy to track the timing because of the individual Passovers that are mentioned. So this is the second one mentioned. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the troubling of the water was made whole of whatever disease he had. Now, I don't know this for sure, but I'm thinking that this is just a superstition. I don't know that an angel was really doing this, that he had the authority from God to go down and randomly do this. I think this is just a superstition. I can't say for sure. And a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been now a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is troubled. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me." So this poor man, lame in some way, he can't get up and get to the water. People are just stepping over him and getting there first. Now, whether they're really being healed, again, that's another question. But Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was healed, took up his bed, and walked. What a great day for this man. And that day was the Sabbath. Uh-oh. Therefore the Jews said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." Again, how ridiculous. You know, these religious leaders, you weren't allowed to eat on the Sabbath. You weren't allowed to care for your animals on the Sabbath. You couldn't, obviously, carry your bed home on the Sabbath. You certainly couldn't perform a miracle on the Sabbath and help somebody who needs help, at least according to them. He answered them, "He who healed me, the same said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Then asked they him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" And he who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. He knew that someone had miraculously healed him of his infirmity, but I guess he didn't get his name or didn't know who he was. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "Behold, you are made whole. Do not sin any more, lest a worse thing come to you." In other words, eternal punishment. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. So at that point, he must have got his name, and then he went and told the Jews. Therefore, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. So Jesus did a good thing for somebody who was ill, and they're angry about it. He performed a supernatural act on someone, and they're angry about it. To me, that's sometimes hard for me to comprehend, how these religious leaders could just be so pig-headed, so hard-hearted. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I work." In other words, I'm going about doing my Father's business. Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he had not only broken the Sabbath, which of course he hadn't, that was just their accusation, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God, which is true. He is God. His Father is God, and he's equal with God. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever things he does, the Son likewise also does." So he's trying to explain to them, my Father sent me down to earth, and I am doing what he is telling me to do. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. I'm going to continue performing miracles and teaching and preaching, and the miracles are to prove who I am. For as the Father raises up the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but he has committed all judgment to the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who has sent him. You can't separate Jesus from God as far as their mission. They're going to speak the same things. They're going to do the same things. They're going to be completely 100% in sync with each other. They are never going to disagree with the mission. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. Now, as always, it's not belief only. Belief always includes obedience. He who hears my word and believes and obeys me who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death to life. Believe and obey and you will be saved. It's that simple. Truly, truly, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has given the Son to have life in himself, and has also given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of God. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming, in which all who are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Of course, he's talking about judgment day here. On judgment day, we are all going to be judged. Every single one of us is going to stand before God on judgment day and give account of our lives to him, and the Son is going to be judging us. And we can see that from John 12:48. Of myself I can do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of my Father who has sent me. Again, he's trying to explain that him and his Father are completely 100% in agreement with each other. Everything that God tells Jesus to do, he's going to do. Everything that God tells Jesus to say, he is going to say. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true or valid, because you can't just witness for yourself. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness that he witnesses of me is true. You sent to John, and he bore witness to the truth. Of course, John the Baptist was another witness to Christ. Remember, he was preparing the way for Christ, saying, "Behold the Lamb of God, this is the Christ, the Savior of the world." But I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, talking about John the Baptist, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. So you believed him for a little while. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me, because he can perform supernatural acts. If someone can do supernatural acts, they have to be from God. They have to. Satan has no power. So if someone is doing supernatural acts, literally doing supernatural acts, they are from God. And the Father himself, who has sent me, has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. No one has seen God. And you do not have his word abiding in you. For whom he has sent, you do not believe him. So God has sent me. I have proven to you that I am the Christ, the Son of God, with the supernatural acts that I am performing, and the words that I am teaching and preaching are straight from God, and yet you don't believe me. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they that testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. So he's getting on to them, It's like, you have all this proof. You have the Old Testament. You have all the prophecies in the Old Testament that I am fulfilling. And yet you still want to believe. And since you want to believe, you're not going to have eternal life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you did not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. Again, remember, he just does not fit their narrative. He is just a poor carpenter's son from Nazareth of Galilee. He's not from royalty. He's not rich. He's not powerful. He's just a regular guy. And they don't like that, so they're going to reject him, because the Messiah is going to be some fantastic, wonderful, rich, powerful descendant from royalty. At least that's how they have it in their minds. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. I don't need to condemn you. The law of Moses is going to condemn you. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how shall you believe my words? If you're not going to believe the Old Testament and all of the prophecies written about me, and seeing that I am fulfilling every one of them, you're never going to believe, and you're condemned already. So he really lays into the Jews. And that is John chapter 5.